Good morning. How are we doing? How are we feeling? I am excited. I am pumped up. I am happy. Just good to see everyone here. Good to see you this morning. Once again, just to kind of open up from announcements, I'm just excited of what's to come in our church and just this fall kickoff. You know, fall kickoff, it's kind of normal throughout churches. And we're doing the same thing. So fall kickoff is just revamping our groups and everything from the year. So we have youth groups starting up in a few weeks. So if you have youth, it'd be a great time to bring them on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8:30. And we're also going to be starting our discipleship group on Wednesday evenings next month. We will be having our different connection groups, which is going to be Megan leading a women's Bible journaling for you guys to color and put things in your Bible. I don't participate because I feel weird about covering up the words of the Bible, but that's just me. And then also, along with that, we are going to start a men's breakfast on, I believe, the third Saturday of the month. So just tons of new things coming up, tons of ways to participate, tons of ways to get involved, be present, be in community together, and I'm excited for it. Amen? So as we are starting today, would you open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4? I'm going to read it first, and then we'll dive in and see how God wants to open this up this morning. Amen? All right, so chapter 4, starting in verse 1, we're going to go through verses 1 through 18. It says, in my Bible at least, unity and maturity in the body of Christ, chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he has also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who has descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blowing here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we go into your word, as we just talk this morning, that you would continually be with us as you always are, Lord. I pray that your spirit be on us. I pray that you would open the words to how you want us to hear them. I pray that you would guide us this morning. I pray that you would open our hearts to receive your voice. And Lord, we just thank you for giving us the ability to come together in fellowship. Praise you, God. You are worthy. You are the King. You are truly worthy of everything, Lord. And we just praise you this morning. And in your name we pray. Amen. So when we read this passage, when we talk about growing in Jesus, most of us think, and not, I wouldn't say most of us, but there's a portion of us that think when we need to grow personally, we do it by reading our Bible, pray, worship, obey God, and just spend time in His presence, which is true, right? We do those things. But that is not the only thing, because Paul describes spiritual growth in Ephesians 4 as not described as a person growing alone. We come together in church, we come together here, but then a lot of people will say, oh, I'm going to go, I go home, I read my Bible at home, I pray at home, I do these things, I got a good relationship with Christ, I'm just doing my thing. And that is not bad in itself, but it is not the full picture. It is not the full picture of what Christ intended, but unity in the body and building each other up. He describes the body as growing together. So our relationship with Jesus is personal, but our relationship was never intended to remain private. So when Jesus saves us, He brings us into a relationship with Himself and joins us with His people. You get a family, amen? You are brought into a new family in Christ, and you have brothers and sisters in Christ. You have maybe aunts and uncles, you have elders, you have all the kit and caboodle, and they are together in Christ. We belong to Christ, and because we belong to Christ, we also belong to one another. And Paul begins Ephesians 4 by urging Christians to live a life worthy of the calling they have received. So the first three chapters in Ephesians, Paul is explaining the calling, that we were spiritually dead, that God made us alive with Christ. We were separated from God, but Jesus brought us near through His body, through His blood. We were divided from one another, but Jesus broke down the walls of hostility and created one people united in Christ. And now Paul explains how people have received that grace should live, how they should come together. He tells us to be humble. He tells us to be gentle, patient, willing to bear one another in love. Amen? We're not all the same, are we? We come from different backgrounds. We come from different lives. We come from different styles of everything. There's a lot of differences in our lives. But just like a family, who can tell me right now? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. Maybe it's you in the room, so we don't have to do it. But in a family, we all have that uncle, or maybe that aunt, or maybe that brother or sister, who we're just like, ugh, I love you though. I see some hands pointing. Let's not be a little bit meh. But we all have those moments where we're like, man, if you weren't my family, it'd be a little bit more difficult, but I love you. I love you, right? So when Paul says that we come together in humility, that we come together united, even in responding when we disagree, that we are patient and willing to bear one another with love. Even in the church, even in the family of God, there's a lot of times where we might disagree. There's a lot of times where we might see people and go, oh, if you weren't in the family of Christ, amen? But we are called to be together, to build each other up, to pray with one another. When you fall down, I pick you up, because two steps later, when I fall down, you pick me up. We are united in Christ. And that is a beautiful thing. But when we were divided from one another, Jesus broke down the barrier of that hostility, and He became the head. And He says, you are now united under me. And Paul explains how people have received that grace. Every quality from being humble, gentle, patient, willing to bear one another in love, Paul names is lived out through relationship with one another. Humility changes how we respond when someone disagrees with us. Gentleness controls how we use our words. Patient becomes visible when someone frustrates us. And God uses our relationships to form the character of Jesus within us. Paul then says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit has already created the unity by joining us to Christ. And our responsibility is to protect what he has given. Protect the grace that he has given. Paul gives us these seven foundations for unity. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. So because of this, our unity does not depend on us having the same background. It doesn't depend on us having the same personalities, the same preferences or opinions. We are united because we have the same Lord. We are united in Christ. We are not united in our love for whatever it is. We're not united in our love for The Bachelorette on TV. Don't worry, I don't watch it. I have other funky shows that I'd be watching. But we are not united in the preferences. We are united in Christ. So when you walk up to someone and you're like, you're different than me. You're not acting like Christ. Well, maybe it's not that they're not acting like Christ. Maybe they're just not acting like you. And we're not meant to act like you. We're meant to act like Christ. And what we should be doing, let's get a little bit deep here, a little bit under the surface. When we are with each other, maybe it's not them being bad or wrong in their thinking or something, but maybe they are just in a moment of life that they need the unity of Christ that we should have to build each other up. So when you look at your life and go, I'm feeling good today, my brother or sister is stumbling, let me lift them up. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to point at them. I'm not going to say, you're a sinner. Guess what? We all are, okay? But we're going to help each other in unity and love and build each other up. And that's what we're called to do through the grace of God. Because the same grace that saved me from my sin, the same grace that took away my addictions, the same grace that said, hey, Ian, you were not a very good person in life. You've done some pretty bad things, but I'm going to call you to preach the word of God. That same grace is upon all of us. So we don't look at somebody else and go, ooh, look at what you've done. No. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves all of us. And we need to build each other up in Christ. All right, I got off on a little sideways tangent. Let's get back into it. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. I keep wanting to say appointed. But apportioned it. So we share one Lord, but we have not all been given the same role. Does that make sense? So Paul is using the imagery of Psalm 68, and Paul describes Jesus as the victorious king. Christ descended into our world. He gave his life on the cross. He rose from the grave and ascended above all things. And the risen Jesus has now gifted his people. He has now shared the Spirit to work within us. So the one, the only one, Lord, conquered sin and death, also provides everything that his church needs to grow. That's another thing. Do we know that? It's not our church. It's not our thing. It is his church. And Jesus has gifted us and built up within us all the things that he needs to grow his church. But are you going to use your gifting for his glory or yourself? Are you going to use your gifting to lift up others or praise yourself? Because gifting can be used for both you or the Lord. We see it all the time. People are like, look at what I've done. Look at the kingdom I've built, look at the business I've done, look at all these things, and it is through me and my lifestyle, whatever they want to say, that I have done this. And it's like, no, you haven't. God has given that, and you are abusing it, and you are using it to say that you are the one who are glorified through it. And God can take that away. Amen. There's a lot of times, and I'll be truthful, sometimes I do get prideful. I'm human, right? You look at things and you're like, man, I wish I had that house. I wish I wasn't paying rent in the Bay Area. It's a lot of money I'm giving somebody else, amen? But at the same time, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for not giving me something that's going to put me in a position to place something in front of you. Because you know my heart, and I don't need that. And that doesn't mean that other people can't have it. They can surely have those things and still do wondrous things in the glory of God. But I just also have to admit to myself, maybe that's just not my thing. That's not my place. That's not my gifting. That's not what God has called me to do. So the one who conquered sin provides everything his church needs to grow. And a Christ equips his people to grow. So Paul writes, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Jesus gives leaders to his church to proclaim his word, spread the gospel, care for his people, teach truth. But then Paul explains their purpose. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So that word translated equip carries this idea of preparing and restoring something so it can fulfill its intended purpose. Not the purpose you want it to, its intended purpose. Does a hand become a foot just because it wants to be on the ground and smell the roses a little bit closer? Feel the little, like, I don't know what they call it, like bonding or whatever when you walk barefoot in the grass? Does a hand become a foot just because it wants that? No. A hand serves a different purpose, like holding the word of God. We are all created to do the works of Christ in the way that God has given us and equipped us. Pastors and teachers are called to prepare God's people so that God's people can participate in ministry. So my calling, let's just say, put myself on the little hot seat, I guess you can call it. My calling as your pastor is to help you understand God's word, to equip you, to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, to recognize, so you can recognize how he has equipped you, and you can become prepared to serve others in the way that God has called you to. And that ministry belongs to the whole body. So some will teach, some will encourage, some will pray with those who are hurting, some will welcome people, some will meet needs, some will share the gospel, some will walk beside new believers, and every believer has received grace from Christ, and every believer has a place within the body of Christ. And Paul says this work continues until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So Paul does not describe maturity, maturity as this individual achievement. Yeah, we can say we're mature in Christ. We can say, oh, I'm good with praying. I'm good with reading my Bible. I'm good with all these things. I do my devotion. I tithe, all my stuff. But then, are you just presenting that as yourself while your brother or sister is sitting right next to you struggling? And you're just like, oh, that's your thing to grow on. I'm good over here. You need to get up with the system. But no. It's until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature as a body of Christ. You ever hear that phrase, that saying, you are only as strong as your weakest link? And I'm not going to say weak in a way that is demeaning or bad in any way like that, but just let's just say like baby Christians or people who don't have as much knowledge or people who don't understand as much, because really, I'm going to be honest, there's people who have been a Christian for a year that know more than people who have been a Christian for two decades. So it's not like the length of time, it's the depth of the relationship and maturity in Christ. But you are called to build, and the body of Christ is called to become mature. I don't care if your hand is mature. If your whole body is not doing what it needs to do, your hand can't carry your whole body forever. Right? I tried to look for a picture. I saw it at one point. I couldn't, and I wasn't going to put some random person on the TV. But just imagine if you only worked out this one arm, and you just had this bicep, this huge thing, but then you just had this lanky arm over here, skinny, no muscle, walking around, and you're just like, hey, dude, 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 dude. It's really unproportional, isn't it? Okay? Just because one member is doing all these right things and building each other up doesn't mean that the whole body is benefiting. And we are called to be united in Christ. We are called to reach unity and become mature as a body of Christ. So Paul does not describe it as individual. We continue building each other up until we all become mature. And God is forming a people who know Jesus, who reflect his character, and participate in his message together. And knowing Jesus involves knowing more than just information about him. I've said it before, you can know about Jesus without knowing Jesus. You can know about somebody without actually knowing somebody. Look at Wikipedia. Happens all the time in our world. People are like, whatever singer that you really like or something like that. And these people are like, oh, I love you, I know you. Like, they know everything. They know their birthday, they know their favorite color, but they don't know the person. You can do the same thing with your relationship with Christ. You can know all this stuff. You can be like, his birthday is on this date, Christmas. He did this. He went here. He was born here. Like, all these things. But then you can be like, but do you know him? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know him as a person? Do you have a relationship with him? So it involves more than just knowing information. As we know him more deeply, his character shapes us. His priorities become our priorities, and his love changes how we treat others. So we describe this continuing work as sanctifying grace. God's grace does more than just pardon our past, okay? The Holy Spirit continues cleansing our heart, reshaping our desires, teaching us to love God and others more completely. We respond through prayer, scripture, worship, surrender, and obedience. We also allow ourselves to be equipped, encouraged, corrected, and strengthened through Christ's body. God uses his people to help his people grow. And we help one another become mature, because Paul continues, he says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. An immature believer can be carried in a different direction by every new teaching, by every persuasive personality, by every difficult circumstance, by every powerful emotion. We have more access right now to Christian teaching than we ever have. We have more access to anything. You can go online right now, go to YouTube, wherever you want, and just type in John 3:16, and you can get, I'm going to say thousands. I know it's more than that. But you can get as much information as you want, and unfortunately, you can go, I don't like the way he said it. I'm going to tailor my liking into how this person does it based on this person's personality. Doesn't mean that it's based on truth. You base it on personality and everything else. So we have more access than ever But more information does not guarantee maturity. Someone can sound confident and still distort Scripture. Mature believers learn to ask whether a teaching that they're listening to agrees with the Word of God. It reflects Jesus and leads people towards holiness. When you are mature in Christ, you might listen to something and somebody saying, you know, this is about Jesus, who you need to listen to, and you can be like, but are you actually preaching his word? Because guess what? There's many religions that talk about Jesus. Mormonism, Jesus. So many others that I'm blanking out on right now. But they talk about Jesus, but they are not sharing the word of God. And we need to be able, the maturity comes from knowing that that is not God breathed. That that is something different. Did you guys know that the devil knows the Bible? When Jesus was tempted, the devil, Satan, used Scripture to tempt Jesus. And Jesus, in his knowledge and understanding, because he is the Lord God Almighty, used Scripture to rebuke it. But just because it is shared as the Word of God doesn't mean it came from the Word of God. We need to be able to discern and pray and understand. And as a body of Christ, we need to stick together and say, is that teaching true? I would expect any one of you, and hopefully it doesn't happen. I try to be very, very specific and stuff in my teaching. But if I say something that's like, that's a little wrong, I would expect people to come and say, hey, that sounded a little off. You know, Pastor Troy, come knock on my door and be like, oh, you said something a little bit different. Amen? But that's building each other up, talking to each other. It's the work, continued work. But we should no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves because we have blind spots. All right, so mature believers learn to ask whether a teaching agrees with the Word of God, reflects Jesus, and leads people to holiness. So we all have blind spots, amen? No matter what car you get into, my wife's notorious for this. Sorry to throw you under the bus. I love you. But she is the first one to sit in the car and go, that's a blind spot. That's a very big blind spot. And if I've driven a car, sometimes like I don't see the blind spot because I look out a different window. I just drive differently. Maybe it comes from driving a tank and driving a haul truck and a mine and just driving a lot of bigger vehicles where if it's a little vehicle with at least two windows, I'm good. Like, but, you know, to her, there's a big blind spot. And then if I get in her car, I look around and I'm like, dang, that looks different. And she's fine in her car, but it's her car. In the same way, we're all our own car. All right? We're all our own style. And we have our own blind spots that we do not see. Because we're used to seeing our own situation. The car is your life. The car is your situation. We know how to navigate through it because it's ours. We have the mirrors adjusted to us. We have the back mirror adjusted to how we want it. We have the radio stations. Don't touch my radio stations. We have those set to what we like. It is our vehicle. But maybe somebody else steps into that and goes, have you seen this over here? This huge gaping hole? Oh, I never saw that before. Other people will see the blind spot in your life. And in the unity in Christ that we have, other people can come to you and say, hey, something's going on here. Let's talk. Let's build each other up. Let me help you see the blind spot that you're not seeing. And in the same way, help me see the blind spot that I'm not seeing. So we can all be mature and connected and unified in Christ. Because Paul writes, speaking truth, the truth in love, remember that, truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Truth without love can become very harsh, very quick. And while love without truth can leave people trapped in what is harming them. So Jesus really brings both these together perfectly, and he receives us with his compassion, forgiveness, by grace, and leads us away from sin. So we all need people who remind us of grace when we fail to speak honestly, when our choices are drawing us away from Jesus Christ. We need people who will pray for us, who will open scripture with us, who will remain beside us while God is working within us. And then expect and help your other brother do the same, and they do the same for you. And Paul continues, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. Jesus is the head. The church receives its life and direction from him, yet Jesus has chosen to work through his people. And Paul says that the body grows as each part does its work. You have something that God wants to use in another person's life. And you need what God has placed within others. We need each other. This requires a relationship beyond Sunday mornings. Our discipleship groups that we're starting will give us a place to grow deeper in Scripture together. Our connection groups will help relationships form through encouragement, prayer, and support. And through these relationships, every person can contribute to the growth of the body of Christ. But growth requires a different way of living, too. Beginning in verse 17, Paul gives a serious warning. He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. So Paul is describing people who continue living without knowing God. They search for meaning and direction while remaining separated from the one who gives life. They are searching for something, but they don't know that what they're searching for is God. Because everything else leaves an empty void. It never fully fills. It never gives you everything. You always have to go back to it. You're always in this cycle. It's because Jesus is that void. And he continues, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Life apart from God eventually affects how a person thinks and understands what is good. And when people repeatedly resist God, their hearts become hardened over time, and their understanding is darkened. And Paul tells the church that they must no longer live that way. You do not live like Gentiles do. You live knowing that you have Christ. Growing in Jesus requires us to leave behind the thinking and the conduct of our former life. It requires us to understand that we cannot continually resist the Holy Spirit, correction, obedience. We can't resist all those things and expect to mature. That is why a lot of times you might see somebody who's been a Christian, they say they go to church for 20, 30 years, but their lifestyle has not changed at all. It's because they are not maturing through a deep relationship with Christ because they're not letting go of their former life. But grace meets us where we are. Amen. We started watching Chosen again just because, why not? And that reminded me, you know, I went back to the beginning when Jesus calls his disciples. He met them where they were. He met them at their nets. He met him at the tax booth. He meets you where you are. And it's our response to respond by saying, yes, I will follow you. And then it's also our response to say, I will grow in you. I will mature in your life. I will mature in my understanding. Because grace God's grace awakens our need for Jesus. The more I read, the more I trust, the more I pray, the deeper my relationship grows with Jesus, only strengthens my understanding of how much I need Jesus. It only gets stronger. His grace forgives us when we repent and believe. His grace continues working within us so we can leave sin behind and walk in his holiness. And spiritual growth involves our willing response. We need to surrender what God reveals in our life. We need to obey what he teaches and allow trusted believers to speak into our lives. And when the Holy Spirit brings conviction, we need to stop defending ourselves, defending our actions, and instead ask where we need to change. God, are you telling me that this is a part of my life that I need to change, that I need to give to you? Instead of saying, oh, just one more time. Oh, it's fine this time. But instead saying, Lord, I need to give this to you because I can't. And Jesus gave his life to bring us out of spiritual darkness and into the life of Christ and into the life of God. He calls us to leave the life behind that separated us from him and become a people that reflect his holiness, his truth, and his love. So Ephesians 4 this morning gives us this picture of how God intends his church to grow. Christ gives leaders who equip his people. His people carry out the work of ministry. The body becomes stronger as each person participates in what God has called them to do. He is the head. Our life and growth come from him, and he has chosen to work through his people. Do you ever wonder that, like, Jesus is the head? Okay. Can you cut off a finger and survive? Yeah. Can you cut off a hand and survive? Yep. Can you cut off the lower portion of your body and survive? Yeah. Can you cut off your head? Nope. Without Christ, you are spiritually dead. He is the head. He is the one. Everything flows from him. He is your brainstem. He is your nerves. He is everything from the head. So none of this can happen apart from Christ. He is the head of the body. Our life and growth come from him, and he has chosen to work through his people. Because think about this again, you guys. Does the head hand an apple to somebody? I mean, if you did that whole, like, thinking about it, bobbing for apples as a kid, that's pretty gross. Let's not do that anymore. Yeah. Germs spread, you guys. Yeah. Not healthy. But the head does not hand people things. The head is not like, I mean, you're not going to kick a ball with your head. Like, you might have some fraternity things going on with your brothers, and they're going to use you as a battering ram. But it's not meant for what, that's not what your head is meant for. Your head is meant to lead you, to guide you. But the work is done by the body. We are the body of Christ. He is the head. His work is done through our life, through our listening to him, through him. But we are part of his body. Jesus gave us life. So you need the body of Christ. Perhaps the next, and maybe you are wondering what the next step is. Perhaps the next step is joining our discipleship group, going deeper in the Word of God. Our discipleship groups are going to be sermon-based Bible teaching groups specifically meant to deepen our relationship with the Lord, to deepen our understanding with the Lord. Our community groups are meant specifically to commune, to come together, to fellowship, to have fun, to have conversations, to build each other up. And perhaps Jesus is calling you into one of these. Perhaps Jesus is calling you to encourage, to serve, to teach, to welcome. Walk beside another Christian, another believer who may be new. But we need to ask, am I connected to the body? Am I growing towards maturity? And am I helping somebody else grow? Or am I doing my own thing? Jesus has called us to one body and given grace to each of us. And every person responds to his grace and does the work of him that he has given them. The whole church grows and builds itself up in love as we grow together. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.